breaking ball and a call. Strike three. Third strikeout for Zach.
He's going to just watch it go. A grand slam for Bryson Stott.
And there's a high fly ball. Deep right field. Harper watches it fly.
From WHYY, it is hitting season. Hey there, podcast pals. I'm John Stolness from The Good Fight. You can follow me on X and Blue Sky at John Stolness. Folks, it has been 10 years and 2 months since the first episode of this podcast, which we called TGP Radio, which stood for The Good Fight Radio back in the day. We then switched the name up to The Felsky Files. We're now hitting season. This episode, after 10 years and 2 months, we have reached episode number 1,000, everyone. So episode number 1,000 of Hittin' Season coming at you here. And after a harrowing weekend in the nation's capital, we've got lot to discuss. Joining me, Justin Clue and Liz Rocher on this edition of The Roundtable. Justin from Baseball Prospectus and, of course, our podcasts over at the Hittin' Season Patreon, The Dirty Inning and Absolutely Hammered. Follow him on Blue Sky at Justin Clue. Justin, happy 1,000, pal.
Is there an award you get for 1,000 podcasts,
or no.
Do they just send you straight to prison?
No, they don't. You get. Here's the interesting thing.
That's where we're going, baby.
You're ignored exactly the same way as you were the previous 999. So yes, that's how that works. Yeah.
You know, I hear people say like, I miss Felsky Files sometimes. I'm like, it is kind of the same show. I mean, it's still John. It's John Stolness's show where he talks about the Phillies. Maybe there's us now. We also joined, but I don't know how many episodes were there of the other shows before we formalized as Hittin' Season.
I don't know. Formalized as Hittin' Season? I don't know. I mean, I think like 400, 300, 400. I think we've been the Hittin' Season for the majority of the time now.
Oh yeah, we've definitely been Hittin' Season for a while. Absolutely. Yep.
And yep. You guys have been with the show the majority of the time, too. The far vast majority of the time now.
I will say this is it's not that I wouldn't have seen this coming. We have a massive staying power, for sure.
Something but, about the amount of staying power that we have.
We ourselves criticize ourselves for it.
It did kind of happen seamlessly, I will say. And I don't mean this in like a, time is passing and you got to cherish every moment. It's more that, we just kind of like flowed right into 1,000 episodes pretty naturally. I sometimes think, what would I do if I just had to sit down and watch a Phillies game without having to, you know, think about what I have to say about what's happening or pick up little notes or notice things or turn something into, this will be a conversation later or I don't know. Like, would I even, if this went away, would I like sit down and watch a Phillies game? I mean, probably, but I wonder if I just wouldn't know how to do that anymore. It would be an interesting exercise. My point being is, looking forward to the next 10 years, because apparently I can't watch baseball without doing this podcast.
That is 100% correct. I feel the exact same way. Liz Rocher from Sabres Baseball Research Journal. Follow her on X and Blue Sky at Liz Rocher. Liz, happy 1,000 years. Do you feel the same way? Like, are you just pot committed now at this point, 1,000 episodes in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, what else am I going to do with my Sunday nights and Friday morning afternoons? Like, I'm thinking about what I'm going to say on the show all the time. And I'd like just like to thank both of you for not protesting when I invited myself to be a co-host on this show.
here's what I'm going to say.
Like,
about
it's, I'm like, it's the two of you. That's great. What you need is a woman. And I'm just going to be that. I'm just going to
I did
the
same
show.
Thing, except for saying that I was a woman. But other than that, I definitely was like, hey, John, what if I was also on your established show?
I and wanted like, people. I was happy to have smart, intelligent, funny people join me on the show because it's exhausting doing.
And we couldn't get them
talking to yourself.
That's why we
guys are filling in until that happens. Maybe by 2000, we'll see.
That really fell through, so we went with you guys.
We are going to talk about the Phillies, but I just want to say this, and that is that you guys are in a large way responsible for me being able to do this show and to have written about the Phillies, because I was just writing for some dumb – I had my dumb little WordPress Felsky Files Phillies posts that I was doing like 15 years ago, and Justin brought me on board That Ball's Outta Here to start writing for That Ball's Outta Here. And then we were both writing for That Ball's Outta Here, and Liz was running The Good Fight. at that time. And a couple years later, Justin and I were both invited to go write for The Good Fight. And it was through those websites and through that writing and through building up that community that we were able to start the podcast. I was able to start TGP Radio at the time and begin doing using some of my radio training and podcasting. And I got to tell you, like, we were like the first Phillies podcast out of the gate in 2015, the first Phillies exclusive podcast out of the gate in 2015. And so, you know, here we are 10 years later, and there may be some out there that have bigger download lists, some that maybe are a little bit more popular. I don't know. But I think we do a real good show. I'm really proud of the 1,000 episodes we've done. I love working with you two so much. And so I'm really excited for however long this thing goes. And it's going to go for quite a while as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have loved doing this show with the two of you as well. And all of our listeners who both listen to us here and over at the Patreon and have just made like the Dirty Inning a thing and have made Absolutely Hammered a thing.
Right,
and just,
right.
That just, yeah, it's, we probably don't point it out enough that there's been a massive amount of support for us out there. And as the years have gone by, it seems to have only grown. Yeah. And John's right. I don't check the numbers a whole lot. Where are those numbers? I assume they're being printed out in one of those like old printers with the perforated sides somewhere.
Those matrix printers with the, yeah. The holes on the side. The
numbers are just coming out and somebody's going, where are the numbers? And that's where they're coming out of. But I don't look at them. But I assume at this point we are massively popular. It feels like the only alternative. Otherwise, 10 years of doing a podcast would be a complete waste of time. Well, look at that. I turned a nice sentiment into a stupid joke. That's pretty cool.
Well, and I was going to say, I hate working with both of you, so.
Yeah.
I love it. I enjoy it. It's really nice to be able to do this work with people I love and people I enjoy and people who are good friends of mine. You know, we share something really fun and very annoying oftentimes. And if I didn't have you guys to talk to about it, my husband would almost certainly leave me.
Well, yeah, I mean, we've known each other now for over a decade, and we're actually really good friends, and that's because of this. So I think that's what's really the great thing about this community and podcasting and stuff like that is
you were both at my wedding. I officiated Liz's wedding. You know, there's a lot.
I would have invited you to be mine if I'd known you at the time. So we said
not to bring that up. We said not to bring that up.
And we're kind of doing it. I was going to make an age joke, but look at me talking about making an age joke instead of making one.
Yeah, you guys are very restrained. I really appreciate it. All right, let's talk Phillies. I was prepared to come in hot here, especially if they had lost on Sunday, especially as Aaron Nola was blowing a 6-run lead in the third inning. I was ready to mount Vesuvius this place, but instead, the Phillies end up splitting
oh, God.
The 4-game weekend series with the Washington Nationals. This is a terrible baseball team the Phillies were playing this weekend.
Yes, they're so bad.
So bad. But they go 3-4 this week against the Reds and the Nationals, finishing up a 6-4 road trip. What we're going to do here on this episode of the podcast is we're going to start the first half of the show is going to be those of you who have seen the movie Thunderbolts, you're familiar with the character the Sentry, and then his alter ego, the negative character the Void. We're going to start off in the Void. We're going to start off talking and releasing all our dark thoughts about this Phillies team right now, because there are certainly a number of reasons for us to have dark thoughts, dark feelings, things we might just whisper quietly to ourselves and we don't want the rest of the world to hear. We're going to say them on the first half of the podcast here. Dig down deep, Liz. Dig down deep for those dark thoughts. And then in the second half, we're gonna turn things around. The Sentry is going to come and it's going to save the day, going to rescue us. We're going to start talking about some of the good things to feel about, the positives, some optimism to have for this team here over the last six weeks or so that's left in this regular season. So let's jump right into it. And I'll start off with you guys. Justin, what is your deepest, darkest thought about this baseball team following a harrowing weekend? I think that's the only way I can describe it, a harrowing weekend in Washington, D.C.
I'm going to specify again what John said, that a thought is just a raw biological piston firing off, just nothing. You haven't applied rationality to it yet. And that's what I like to, you know, I've learned over the years to be like, oh man, that's my thought. And then I'm like, all right, now let's just consider this. And then you do the show and you're like, these are my true feelings after I've considered my thoughts, after they have been fired out. And I've applied reason and context and nuance. And, you know, that's what I try to give you here on the show. So again, what is said in this portion of the show is not something that I actually feel. It is just me getting that raw emotion out. And with that being said, I think I hate Aaron Nola. I don't think I ever want to see him pitch for the Philadelphia Phillies again. I mean, I'll back up a little bit. Blood clot is one of the scariest terms in medicine. I'm sure Zach Wheeler's going to ultimately be okay, but oh boy, this was kind of at the back of my head when they kept saying, "I sore, but there's nothing wrong. It's not only one of the obvious reasons." You're like, that doesn't mean there's not a reason. It just means we haven't found it yet. The pain was always real. The soreness that he was talking about, and we all saw the performance issues he was having as a pitcher. Could be fatigue, but that's more about energy and stamina. And so, like, this news was really alarming. And before anything, before the Phillies winning, before the Phillies making the playoffs, before the Phillies winning the World Series, he's got to be healthy. If we're talking about, like, things like blood clots and everything, Zach Wheeler needs to be healthy, and that matters more than anything that's going to happen on a baseball field. So I will say that.
Yeah.
And who do we have as our savior? Oh, look, yonder on the hillside at the rising of the sun. It is the chosen one coming back to us, fully rested and healthy. Aaron Nola, yes, he has undergone some struggles. And certainly this year we have yet to see a good Aaron Nola start. But boy, doesn't that narrative just kind of click into place that we lose Wheeler, but Nola's back. And guess what? The guy who's just always getting it from the fans because he never quite has it. He's going to come back and he's going to nail down this first game. And then he's going to play a pivotal role moving forward. I went on three different podcasts and I said, Aaron Nola is going to be good. It's going to be a good thing that he's back. Here he is, rested and healed. Let's cradle him in our arms as we usher him back from the injured list. Hey, Aaron, that was a real healthy break for everybody. And there's a lot of people who think a fresh arm that's capable of what yours does could really help us right now. So here, let's lay you down gently on a 6-run cushion so you're nice and comfortable. That's right, 6 runs. The offense that quivers at the Reds and Nationals pitching staffs managed to find you 6 runs before you even had to pitch. I'd start Taijuan Walker in a playoff game before Aaron Nola at this point. I'd start Ben Davis in a playoff game before Aaron Nola at this point. And you know what? Every start for the rest of his many years in Philadelphia is going to be the one where he turns it around. And oh boy, don't we look stupid for doubting Aaron Nola? Well, I look forward to that day. I wait on bated breath the day the sun rises on an Aaron Nola start where he doesn't find a way to burn up every lead. Choke up every hit, bleed every run until the Fanatics tied a noose made of hot dogs on the Phillies dugout. You got 6 runs, Aaron. You're a professional baseball player. Even Mick Abel could have come out and held that lead, and he's 14 years old.
Oh my god!
Is it too late to start an Aaron Nola as an opener narrative? Are we too far down that road?
No,
let's all give ourselves migraines considering the tomfoolery that would come out of an Aaron Nola opener and then a bullpen day for the Phillies. Hot dog! So yeah, I would start with Aaron Nola. That's where my darkest feelings are.
That's where you would start.
I'm willing to explore. I'm willing to explore other areas, but that is where my darkest thoughts live. Yes.
For those who missed it, Aaron Nola went 2 1/3 innings on Sunday, gave up 7 runs, 7 hits, 6 runs, all in the third after being staked to the aforementioned 6-0 lead, 1 walk and 4 strikeouts. His ERA, which coming into the game started at a robust 6.16, increased to 6.92 after this start. It was so disheartening, right? You get the Zach Wheeler news, and everybody's distressed, and everybody's just assuming now, I think rightfully so, that Zach Wheeler's out for the season because it's a blood clot. You're going to have to be on blood thinners. You know, you don't play sports while you're on those, you know? I mean, you got to make sure he's healthy first. So you're looking for how are we going to get through October? How are we going to get through October without your game one ace Cy Young starter, Zach Wheeler? Just in time, Aaron Nola comes riding to the rescue. Here he is, mounted on his steed.
What an opportunity!
Triple A rehab starts where he was destroying these young bucks in Triple A, and mows through. I mean, the same thing, mows through the lineup the first 2 innings. I mean, just like snot through a tissue, and I can't explain it. I can't explain. And the thought that I had today as I was watching Aaron Nola was, is he washed? You know, is he, It was bad the entire first couple months of the season before he got hurt. He has 3 months to recover, comes back and looks exactly the same.
Putrid.
Looks just as bad. And that's the question in the back of my mind. Like,
is anyone here willing to say that he is not washed? That there's no chance that he's washed?
No.
I'm not.
No. There's a chance. Okay. There's absolutely a chance. I was at the game today.
Yes, you were.
My husband and I celebrated our 6th wedding anniversary today, and we went to the Phillies game, which started at 11:35.
Yeah.
Which meant we had to be up and out to catch the local commuter train at 9 a.m. And then we had an extra hour to just putter around the park. And there are pictures of Steven Strasburg there. And we're sitting in our seats, which were not the seats we bought because we stupidly bought seats that were directly in the sun. So we ran for cover up into the high section, and there's a bunch of Phillies fans everywhere. There can't be more Phillies fans than Nationals. There just aren't. But there's so many that it brings it closer to even than most Nationals fans would admit. And so there's a couple of vocal dudes behind us. And they get that 6-run inning. Someone's like, "Well, you couldn't you have done that for Taiwan?" And in my head, I'm like, "I posted that yesterday on Blue Sky." It's like he's starting to voice my thoughts. And when Aaron Nola blows that lead, the sounds of anguish to come from his mouth. I couldn't believe what I was watching. I couldn't believe that he did that. Like, anyone could have predicted it. It's Aaron Nola, but I couldn't believe it. I'm just like, how do you do that? Your first start back after Taiwan Walker lit the ground on fire the other night. Like, how do you come out and are this way? And I don't know why Rafael Marchand was behind the plate. That, I think, maybe had... I mean, it could be anything. It could have been a fly.
It's an early day game after a night game. I mean,
of course. Like, I understand why he was out there, but I don't think that helped him any. But then again, I don't know what could help him. I don't think Real Muto will help him. I think the fairy godmother might help him at this point.
I think there's a sense with Aaron Nola that every time he starts, the hope doesn't come from, "Boy, he's really good. He'll figure it out." It's, well, surely what's happened last time can't happen again. Or surely,
that's what it is.
Surely what's happened the last 4 times won't happen again. Surely there's some reason or injury or adjustment that was made that was addressed and he'll come out and it will be different. And then it's not. And then you're like, "Oh, I'd hate to be the team that gave him a contract extension." And then you're like, "Oh no, we totally are that team." I don't have anything left for Aaron Nola. That's a dangerous place for me because I said the same thing about Taiwan Walker, and Taiwan Walker has the second lowest ERA among Phillies starters in the second half of the season. So
here's the thing that they need him. Like, if Zach Wheeler's gone,
we're not rid of Aaron Nola. No, that's never going to happen. I think even after his contract ends, he's just going to be like around, living in the walls, sucking on the bats for nutrients.
If Zach Wheeler is done, and this is the Aaron Nola we've got left, all of a sudden your postseason rotation are 3 left-handers. Right, you're not putting Luzardo in the bullpen now, right? Because you need him in the rotation.
You physically can't.
That's not an option anymore.
So.
So Luzardo, he's not going to the bullpen. So this master plan to fix the bullpen of moving one of your starters to the bullpen, that's out the window. That's not happening.
At least we have Jose Alvarado. Ah, crap. No.
Damn, you're not bringing up Andrew Painter here at the end of the season.
Nope, not happening.
But we're getting to too many dark things at once. Let's focus the darkness and let's keep it focused in one area. Liz, do you have so that's an Aaron. I think we've expressed our Aaron Nola dark thoughts here. Liz, do you have another dark thought about this baseball team that we haven't discussed so far? Maybe it's more on Zach Wheeler or something else. I don't know.
Oh, I have lots of Zach Wheeler fears. I have so many. I can't keep them straight because Blood clots are very bad, and we haven't heard anything else about what it could be or where it is. Like, it's extremity.
A shoulder, isn't it?
Yeah, it's right to the shoulder.
Oh, well, then that's even worse, because that is a terrible place for a pitcher to have a blood clot. And that is solely why he's been doing badly in the second half. And I wonder how long it went on before they checked, before Zach Wheeler mentioned anything. I wonder, like, if he's done for this season, that's real bad. How does it affect the rest of his career? How? Like, you think of everything that we thought of and we put on him for the rest of the season, and that's essentially over. Like, we can't really depend on him for anything. No. And to me, my dark thought is he's not just bad. He's not just hurt. He might be done. And the Phillies, I don't know if they can get as far as we want them to without actually a legitimate ace on staff, which we all know. They need a guy who can go out there and that they can depend on. And we could say it's the other guy who's left in the rotation, who's not Aaron Nola or Zach Wheeler. But I love Chris Sanchez, but I'm constantly, here's another dark thought, I'm constantly waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because it's only dropped on every single one of the other guys that we were considering key. This incredible rotation. Suarez is now struggling. Lizardo is now, I think, you're kind of number two in that his numbers have been not wonderful, but solid since the two games where he gave up 20 runs.
He is technically the second best guy.
Yeah, like he's been okay, like pretty good, I think, since that the two games where he gave up 20 runs combined. But yeah, like Suarez is struggling. Obviously, Wheeler's out, and Aaron Nola's Aaron Nola, and then you have Taiwan Walker. So, like, is that your playoff rotation? Chris Sanchez, Jesus Luzardo, and Taiwan Walker.
Walker.
I'm counting out Ranger Suarez, but like, is there a bounce back coming there? Because
God, I hope so.
He's kind of in the hole now too. So,
yeah.
And I'll just reiterate. The most important thing is Zach Wheeler. They found a blood clot, and it's getting addressed. That is the most important thing.
Yes.
Right, but as far as baseball goes, yes. it's a devastating loss for this baseball team. A guy that you know is going to give you 6, 7, 8 innings in every game one, and then every game 5 or 6 or whatever it is that he starts. It's just it was automatic. And so I don't know. I would have felt a lot better about things had we seen even just a solid Aaron Nola start here on Sunday afternoon. And it just, man, did we get, were our worst fears realized right there. I'll give you this. Here's one of my dark thoughts, is that this offense now, they need to kind of pick up the slack, right? The starting pitching has carried this team the entire season. Zach Wheeler has carried this team. These different starters at different times. Christopher Sanchez has been great the whole year, but then you've had stretches where Ranger was great and pitch stretches where Luzardo was great. You've had no stretches where Nola was great. But Taiwan Walker is now in a real hot spot. But you now need this offense. This offense now needs to do the job. And we're all shaking our heads because this week
they're not going to do it.
We know what they are. We know what they are, and we keep hoping that after a 10-run outburst or an 11-run outburst, that things are going to be different. You're like just waiting for this team to change their personality, this offense to change their personality, for these guys to figure it out. Like you watch teams that can hit, you watch teams that I'll give you a perfect example on one of the games they won on Friday night. You know, they worked two walks. You had Stott and Marsh work a walk, and then Schwarber hits the 3-run home run on a hanging slider. Like, that's what you want. You need your offense to do that. You showed patience, and then you took advantage of a mistake. And just so infrequently, this team doesn't show patience, and they don't take advantage of pitchers' mistakes. They foul them off. They pop them up. They ground them out. And that's just what this team does. But if this team's going to win a World Series, the offense has to step up and do more. And my deep, dark fear is everyone's deep, dark fear about this offense. It's just not there. And I don't, I would like to think they have a 2022 or 2023 type run in them where the offense gets really hot for long enough that they can take you on a deep run, but you just know it's going to run out at some point. So
at any point, at any moment, it might just stop. And that's it. Facing any pitcher, facing any team, the offense might just shut down. I don't know what it is, and at this point it doesn't matter. It would matter if the Phillies knew what it is. I don't know if they do.
But no one knows.
The offense is not something that you can rely on this team. I mean, that was the theme of the Friday episode of Hitting Season was about how, like, look, I mean, you know, complain all you want about individual players. I know that's literally what we're doing now, and we'll do it forever. But at this point in the season, team is what it is. And you got to learn to just survive with who's around, because there's not really any, like, major changes coming. And if there are, it's like the Zach Wheeler type where it's like, oh, a devastating loss that no one was expecting. That's really bad. So the offense has not proven itself to be capable of that. You know, we talked about that Trey Turner quote where he was like, yeah, we just got to find some consistency. And it's like, great. Where is consistency, Trey? Is it in the sewers? Is it in the potted plant in Rob Thompson's office? Where is it? Where is it? Because when you find
it. He found it. He found it himself. He can't really spread it to anyone else.
You know, and that's how the offense works. Okay. I mean, there's just got to be enough of it. And sometimes there's not. And you got to calm yourself down by saying, like, and I don't want to get too positive because we got to save that for the second half of the episode. But, you know, sometimes they score enough and it's enough to win. And sometimes the pitching, it's not enough to win, but the pitching helps them out and they manage to win. But, like, and this team is pretty well over 500 and in a pretty good spot. But at the same time, they lose so many games they didn't have to lose because of exactly what John said. They are so charitable and loving to opposing pitching. And I don't know. I mean, it feels like the thing that we love about Bryce Harper is when somebody hits a home run before him, and then he looks like he wants to swing out of his shoes and hit a home run because, you know, I want to hit one too. And like, oh, that's funny. And then when he does it, it's like, oh, that's really funny. But there's just these, like, the individual performances up and down the lineup that don't feel, there's no, like, cohesion to the offense. Sometimes you'll see a guy go up there and work a walk after, like, you know, 12 pitches or something. And you're like, wow, that was great. The next guy up, well, I'll just go ahead and swing at this first pitch here. And, oh, look at that, a double play ball. And now the whole thing is ruined. And we all wasted 15 minutes of our lives in that last bat because that guy on first base is dead at second. It feels like they don't talk to each other. You know, they don't, like, learn anything about the pitches and pitchers. Like, it's incredibly frustrating because you want to be able to think, all right, like you said, John, this is the offense's turn. It's time now. You guys are a bunch of really good hitters. We know this, you know, Turner and Harper and Schwarber and everybody. Oh, it's great. But then you have guys like Castellanos where they're just like, well, I don't know is it like this? Like, what do you know?
Am I holding my hands right? Are my hands in the right? I got my hands. They're on the up. I got them on the end of the bat. Is that? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And Rob Thompson's like, well, we're going to go ahead and start Max Kepler again. Cause you know, what if today is the day?
Watching some of Castellanos' at-bats before he hit that home run, I couldn't believe he hit one. Because he looks, whenever he's not connecting with the ball, he looks lost. And, like, we could pray, you know, his method works well enough for him, but it doesn't seem like it's working well enough it doesn't seem like it's working well enough anymore. And if that's his method, what else is there left? Like, I'm looking at the ERAs of the pitchers they sent out after they chased the starter in, like, the second inning, the Nationals sent out. They were all, almost to a man, were over six.
Mm-hmm.
And there
yes,
was
the
just
Nationals a, have a awful bullpen. Yes.
Awful.
Terrible. And they didn't start hitting more until we got so far to the end. And then they had to hit more to stave off a Nationals comeback. Like, I was livid when the Nationals started scoring in the ninth. I'm like, I can't believe this. Not only did you guys have chances to send the score higher at numerous times, the bases were loaded at one point today with fewer than two outs, with one out, and they did nothing. There was nothing. That's the problem, is that they can't capitalize on guys that they should. It feels like they're not talking to each other. There's no overarching philosophy. And maybe it's too much to ask for that, but there has to be a thing. I feel like it's not beyond for Rob Thompson to be like, no, we need to have a hitting philosophy as a team. What is our thing? Are we patient or are we always aggressive? One means we're probably going to get a bunch of walks and one means we're going to strike out a lot. Let's try and pick one every day. Just one. We can't have guys going up there and doing 18 different things because it feels like that's what they're doing. And you're right. No one's talking to each other.
This team is hitting 216 with the bases loaded. That is a recurring theme throughout the entire season.
Yep.
What's wrong with you? Why do you hate when the bases are loaded? Why are you like
it?
It's such a great opportunity to score a bunch of runs. And you're like, nah.
That's a mentality thing. Like,
it has to be.
The pitch, when the bases are loaded, the pressure is on the pitcher. And I think the Phillies put all the pressure on themselves. Like, you see Bryce Harper, he's far more dangerous with, like, a runner on first than with the bases loaded now. Because you can see the hamster kicking it into overdrive, spin the spinning wheel of his mind. Like, I gotta get him in. I gotta swing at the first thing. I don't care where it is. The round of the side, I gotta swing. That he's just going so fast. He used to be really great at slowing the game down and taking it as it comes. And now I just feel like sometimes they're just chasing these situations. I mean, they had a runner in scoring position in each of the first five innings against Cade Cavalli on Saturday and couldn't score a single run, let him off the hook. Mackenzie Gore threw 30-some-odd pitches in the first inning and then threw, like, 40 the rest of the game. Not quite that field. But, I mean, it was just the
– I couldn't.
Off the hook. Yeah, and this is going to sound really simplistic and it's going to sound stupid. It's going to sound like the dumb fan that calls into WIP or 90.
This part of the episode is for.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. Just hit. I don't want to hear any more about seeing the ball.
Connect.
Excuse it. Hit the ball. Hit the ball. Hit the ball. Hit the ball.
Hit the ball
far. Hit the ball hard and far. Make the ball go far and hit it hard. Hit the ball. Stop not hitting the ball. Instead, if you see the ball, hit the ball. Hit it hard. That's my
philosophy. It's like they're letting the expectations. It's like they're letting the expectations of others get too far into their brain. Bryce Harper thinks he needs to make a difference every time, whether the bases are loaded or whatever it is. He's swinging out of his shoes. You know, that's why Kyle Schwarber seems to be so successful to me, is that he knows who he is, and he doesn't let any – people could say what they want, but he knows who he is and what he does best, and he's not letting anyone else tell him anything else about that. He knows what he does, and the other guys are like, I have to be this, I have to be that. I think Bryce Harper, it's the biggest issue for him because he really sees himself as an emblem of the team and of the city, of baseball. And I think it's getting to him a lot since he's, you know, I don't think it's like a jealousy thing, but it's I am not the savior of the team anymore. And it's important to me because of my position, my stature, how much I make, how much the city loves me that I do this. And I think he needs to stop it.
Well, one way that he's not emblematic of the city is that the city has two World Series titles and he doesn't have any.
No, that is true.
Yeah,
and he just needs to let it. He just needs to let it go and play baseball. Like we're going to be here saying whatever we want all the time. You know, that's just who we are. That's who baseball fans are. He has to get away from that and just play baseball. You don't need to hit a home run every time up. We don't need you to do that. We like it when you steal home, but you could do that once every 3 years, and that's fine. Like, you just play baseball, man. Just play baseball. It's what you're known to do. It's what you're born to do. Just do it.
Yeah.
I'm so glad that today's game was the game before the 1,000th episode. I know it would be great if we had like a huge guest or did a big special event, but I'm glad that this game happened because this game was so stupid and had so many needless, dumb moments and zigged and zagged and ripped your heart in half in a game where the Phillies absolutely needed to win at the risk of losing a series to the Washington Nationals, who are terrible. The day after Zach Wheeler was lost with a blood clot and Aaron Nola had this opportunity, just a huge, huge opportunity. Scott, I said Scott Fransky, Mike Robertson of the Fransky LA account, put it this way, where he said, the Phillies refuse to be a part of your narrative. And I was like, that is such great shorthand for this team. And this game was a great, one game definition of that shorthand, which was that, you come out and everything I just said means, Aaron Nola's going to pitch like this really great game. It's going to be a solid performance and give everybody hope the day after Zach Wheeler leaves. Okay, fine. That's the narrative. And then it turns into, look, Aaron Nola's Aaron Nola, and he blew the game again, and he gave up six runs. He gave up exactly six runs. He gave up exactly the amount of runs that the Phillies had scored. Like, I know he's not doing it on purpose, but it feels
calculated. Feels like it.
In some way, you know? And then, so that's the narrative. And then, the Phillies fight back. So it's like the Phillies, all right, they're like present enough to win this game despite the struggles. And then, the bullpen, is Max Lazar going to blow it now? And you're like, is this like a bullpen blows it now? And it was a back and forth game. And then they hang on to win. And you're like, great. So what is it that we have here? And you're like, right. What we have is the Phillies. It's just like a big old mess. And you hope that when the game is over, they have more runs than the other team. But like, you don't really know exactly how that's going to happen. And that's led to a lot, like I said, it's led to a lot of games they've lost that they should have won. There's so much parity in this league right now. The Phillies could be much further ahead than they actually are.
Yep.
The amount of games they've lost by like an amount of runs they should have been able to score, a pitcher they should have been able to beat, a hitter that beat them, that Paul DeJong going off on the Phillies, becoming the bane of the Phillies pitching staff this weekend. What is wrong with you? I don't even know who I'm talking to when I ask that question.
I don't mind the offense getting shut down by Hunter Green. Like, Hunter Green's a really good starting pitcher. He throws
to cut you off, but going through all of the pitchers they've recently lost to, I was like, yeah, but that guy's kind of good, and that guy's kind of good, and Hunter Green's really good. Like, all right. There was nobody that I was like, they lost to this guy. I was like, this pitcher for the Nationals is having a really good second half. Like, he's just like in the zone right now. You could make that argument, but like, also win. You're in first place. Yeah. You have Bryce Harper.
Look a little bit deeper, and all you see are pitchers are like relievers that the Nationals sent out today. Guys that the Phillies should be able to tee off of. Do you know how long today's game was?
Yeah,
3 hours and 22 minutes.
Yeah.
We stayed for the whole thing. I wanted to leave several times. My husband was like, no. And in the end, we were standing there in the ninth inning, watching three runs score. I'm like, we should have left an hour ago. And then they won, and they were able to stop it. And I was still like, we should have left an hour ago. We should have caught one of the two trains that didn't leave 2 hours after the game ended. Like, we really should have done that.
It wasn't because a miracle win. It was a miracle not loss.
Yeah.
It wasn't exactly right. I couldn't believe I spent that much time watching the Phillies play live. Because if this had been a game I'd watched on television, I would have gone and done something in the kitchen for a while, maybe had the radio on for a little bit, you know, that type of thing.
I'll tell you something else here. And that is, if Joan Duran is not on this team, they blow this game on Sunday.
Oh my god. I've looked into it a little bit, and the amount of times that the phrase carted off is used in the context of a player injury, and then the next day they're like, hey, it's totally fine. It's totally fine, ready to go tonight, and everything's fine, and it's all normal. Not sure what you're asking about. Maybe this might be the first time that has ever happened. That is absolutely absurd, and I don't know where to put that. I really don't know where to put that with the Phillies.
Well, I was going to put the John Duran stuff in the good section, going to jump to that in just a second.
Let's switch to positive, yeah.
I want to mention one other thing, and this isn't necessarily the darkness, but Rob Thompson. Something occurred to me thinking about Rob Thompson, who we all like on this show. We're not Rob Thompson haters on this show. I think he's, generally speaking, done a good job. I think he's made some mistakes over the course of these last few months. Mistakes he's admitted, not getting certain pitchers up and throwing early enough to bringing starters in, leaving them in for an extra inning or whatever. Like, we saw him do that with Jesus Luzardo in the seventh inning in the Red Series. Like, or was it? No, it was the first game of the National Series. He left him in a little bit too long. with Zach Wheeler out, if Zach Wheeler is out for the season, and the way this offense plays, Rob Thompson essentially is going to have to be perfect in the postseason for this to work. He's got to push every, and I'm sorry that it's like this, but Bruce Bochy used to be like this with the Giants. Like some of these managers, they get dialed in the postseason. He's got to hit every right relief pitcher decision. He's got to make every right lineup decision. Like he doesn't have to do it right now because I think, you know, they're going to get to October. They're going to get to the playoffs. They're probably going to win the division. It's not over yet. Long way to go, but you know, things are trending in that direction. But when you get into the playoffs, with this offense playing the way it is, you don't have Zach Wheeler. If Aaron Nola isn't fixed by the time the playoffs roll around, Rob Thompson has to be perfect. Like, he has to be the elite-level manager. He's going to earn a World Series victory, and he's got to push all the right buttons. And, you know, I think he can do it, but, you know, I don't know that he's pushing, you know, all the right buttons right now. And I like Rob. I think Rob's a good man. He's one of the best managers this city's ever seen.
Yeah. I can't say much else, but yeah, I agree. That's
asking
one of the many things against him.
Asking anyone to be perfect is a risk, a huge gamble, you know? You talk about it after the fact. You're like, Brad Lidge, 48 for 48. Yeah, I mean, and then look at the rest of his career in Philadelphia. I mean, it was I don't mean that to talk down about him or what he accomplished, but clearly that's something you don't really get to do more than once because it's so difficult and crazy, and enough stars have to align as well to pull perfection off. So yeah, if that's what you need to win, your chances to win go down. I kind of said that we're on Blue Sky after Aaron Nola blew up the game today and said, you know, I feel like I have to lower my expectations for this team a couple of notches. That was said in a much more bitter place. And as we're kind of like petering out of the negative aspect or negative section of the podcast, I'll say like, yeah, saying that, like, I don't think this team is going to win the World Series. I mean, it's not that I actually think that, but it's hard to deny it when you lose Zach Wheeler and you've had him the entire year, and everything you've said has been based on a team that had Zach Wheeler pitching for it. So, you know, that's just where you find yourself. But there are reasons to still be happy and excited about the Phillies, despite there being very bad news recently.
Yes, and let's turn our attention now. The Century is here to rescue us. He's here to shed light on some of the good things, the positive things. He flies in with his yellow suit and cape, and he's ready to save when Philadelphia, I guess, for black, I don't know.
Hope everybody saw Thunderbolts. Did everybody see Thunderbolts? I feel like it did. Yeah. It, like, disappointed at the box office.
This is dying like a fish on your kitchen table. Right,
I was
now.
I really thought that the Century was like a robot, maybe. And you're like, he flies in with his cape, and I'm just like, that's no, seems like a man. He's like a human person. Man.
Yeah, like he is an actual man. It's not a true story by any stretch of the imagination, but
tell me more.
Yeah. So let's focus on some of the good things here, the positives about this baseball team, because as we sit here, the Mets are playing the Mariners on Sunday Night Baseball in the Little League Classic. I had the score in front of me just a second ago. Stand by. As of right now, the Mets have a 7-1 lead on the Mariners. So
all right.
Looks like the Mets are going to win. Phillies are going to probably go into this series against the Mariners beginning on Monday, ahead by 5 games in the National League East. That is a very good lead for this time of year. I think, you know, in the negative section, it certainly, we could have said it certainly should have been more games up on the Mets. The Phillies had a chance to really bury this Mets team as they went through one of the worst 2-week stretches of baseball I can ever remember another team going through. I mean, outside of the 1964 Phillies, it was what a brutal stretch of baseball for the Mets. But the Phillies sit 5 games up on the Mets. As I mentioned, over this road trip, this 10-game road trip in which the Phillies went 6-4, they picked up a game and a half on the Mets. So 5-game lead now here as we are on August 17th, leading the National League East. Justin, Liz, we're in a pretty good spot here in terms of the division. The Phillies also tied for the second best record in the National League. The second, you know, that second seed in the NL is still in play. A bye past the wild card round, very much in play. The Dodgers have holes. The Cubs have holes. The Mets clearly have holes. The Brewers lost on Sunday, so I know you guys talked a little bit about the Brewers on Friday. I don't know how much we believe in them as an October team and whether they can sustain what they've done here in August. In September, we'll see how they play down the stretch. For a team that has the lowest barrel percentage in baseball, they don't really hit many home runs. It feels unsustainable, but we'll see, you know, with the Brewers. And then you have the Padres, who are solid, but, you know, the Phillies, I don't think, have any fear of San Diego. So they're, as far as National League teams go, they're right there. You know, and even without Zach Wheeler, their rotation may be as good as any of these other teams in the National League right now, even without Zach. So let me start, Liz, with you on the positive front here about this Phillies team. They're in a good position. They are in a place where they can really put themselves in a great spot heading into October. Give me some things to feel good about these Phillies. What is there to be optimistic about? Help the people feel better.
I'm going to start with my personal saver, Johan Duran. He is
to start.
I mean, what a gift. What a treat. What a dream. What a lovely man to have on our team. It's nice. How long has it been since a guy came out in the ninth and you're like, oh, thank God. You know, that you're not freaking out about, that you're not like, what weird thing is he going to do? Like, you know, Jose Alvarado, I felt that all the time. I'm like, how many dudes is he going to get on base before he strikes out the side? Like, how many is it going to be? And you just don't have those worries. Johan Duran knows where he's a pitcher. He knows where he's throwing the ball. The ball goes there and it gets there fast. You know, one guy today, was it Dylan Cruz or someone, who, by the way, upped his average, his 190-something average to almost 200 today. But they worked like an 8 or 10 pitch at bat against him. And I'm like, well, that's something I haven't seen yet. And he still got him out. You know, the balls don't go in the field. They don't go far if they're hit. It'll happen at some point, but when someone really gets a hold of one, I want to see what happens to it because it's a rare occurrence. I'm just so glad that Dombrowski did what he did and traded for him because it's such a load off of our shoulders, at least my shoulders, to know that they've got a shutdown ninth inning guy, remember when it was Craig Kimbrell? No one wants to remember that. I'm sorry I brought it up.
Remember when it was Jordan Romano? I mean, we can go down a list that ended, you know, just a couple of weeks ago. I'll go a step further and say not only do the Phillies have the most lockdown closer in baseball, and are they a team that can actually make use of a guy in that position, but their bullpen is good now. They have a good bullpen. Yep. Here in 2025, which is something I didn't expect to say after the first half when it was very sloppy and lousy and you were kind of relying on 2 week stretches of success from every member of it, but never simultaneously. And obviously you were waiting for Romano to emerge as some sort of stopping power and he just never did. But looking at the numbers now, there's three guys since July 1st. Who have really impressive numbers, and all three of them are crucial to the Phillies' success moving forward. Tanner Banks is a 2.35 ERA since July 1st.
Man, he's been a revelation, man.
As a lefty coming in from the bullpen, that is an arm that Rob Thompson is absolutely going to rely on. Orion Kerkering, 2.57 ERA since July 1st. That's a guy that the Phillies had said at the beginning of the season they want to rely on more in big moments, and it seems like lately he's stabilized to the point that he can get hitters out. And Matt Strom, since July 1st, has a 1.84 ERA. Matt wow. Strom is back in a big way.
Huge.
And that is, I think, almost, you know, clearly they were pitching a little better before Duran got here, but that, I think, is also a product of his presence, where things just kind of like got shuffled into a more clear place. Pressure was relieved from various people. And roles were more clearly defined and guys were able to, you know, Thompson even came out and was just like, this is what we're thinking as far as the blueprint for the bullpen going forward. The Phillies acquired a closer. So he literally was like, yeah, I can't just do whoever anymore. It's going to be him to close the game, which kind of forced other guys into roles as well. And I think that's been really healthy for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, and regardless of why, they're just doing very, very well. And it's a part of the team that wasn't. So this is an area where the Phillies actually got better. And this is going to play a huge role in any kind of postseason situation. So that is a huge thing to be excited about. But I also think that this team is never going to be dominant. This team's never going to be, you know, they're obviously not going to win 115 games or anything. This team is never going to be a team that has you from every angle you're trying to attack. They just aren't going to be able to do that. What they do have is enough parts that can be good enough to win a single ball game. And they've done that enough times to be like 15, 20 games over 500 for a long time. Like, we're sitting here viscerally, genuinely angry about several things, but then you point out, yeah, but like, you know, first place, 5-game lead, like, team's in a good spot. It's devastating to think about, like, you know, the players they've lost and what's going on and what could potentially happen in the future when those losses are put into context and the pitchers they're going to have to rely on because those other pitchers aren't here. But there's, like, a formula for a win. Every night this team goes out there, even if the offense isn't hitting, even if the starter doesn't have it, they have enough buttons to push to win more games than they've lost. Some nights, 8 innings from a starter and then Duran are enough. Some nights, Turner, Harper, and Schwarber are enough. Some nights, 2 relievers and a pinch hitter who miraculously gets a hold of one are enough. And many times they're not. But not everything works with the Phillies, but anything can. And on any given night, you can get a good starting performance, enough offense, and Johan Duran to close the door. You can get the bullpen gate swinging in the 6th, and there's guys who can get you through that coming into the game. You can score, lose the lead, and score again if the pitching isn't there. They can do any of that, and they've done it enough to be successful for most of, for the entire year. We've never been truly worried that this Phillies team was not going to go to the playoffs.
Right.
Honestly, the Zach Wheeler thing is the biggest dent in the Phillies' hopes to go to the playoffs, and I still think they're going to go. So, on that subject, very few teams, if any other teams, could lose their frontline ace and have another ace ready to go.
Yeah,
like obviously you'd rather have two than one, but to have one, like have Chris Sanchez step in, who is a absolutely a legitimate ace.
Yes.
Since June, his average ERA is like 185. Since June. Like it's
so good.
He is a guy that can win you a ball game. Absolutely. And I think there's enough good pitchers. Like, yeah, things have gotten rough at times. Things haven't worked at times. Guys have gone out and have rough starts at times. But you haven't seen like the last good Ranger Suarez start. You haven't seen the last good Jesus Luzardo start. Like, yeah. They weren't there. Eventually, the utterly dominant performances they were putting out there came to an end because they always do. And I'd rather that happen in the middle of the regular season than in the postseason. These are guys who can get you a win. And, you know, I'll come back and say it again. Taijuan Walker is a guy who can get you a win. You know, he can't do it all by himself, but he can set you up for success. So there's still enough pitching without Zach Wheeler for this team to win the ball games they need to win from August 17th to the end of the season and still win a World Series.
We've seen teams before win championships when their star players go out. I mean, in Philadelphia, we saw it with the 2017 Eagles and Carson Wentz going out. I know that's been a big comparison that people have been making online. It's not apples to apples. There's definitely some differences between those two things. But when you're talking about this, the stature of the type of player that is being subtracted from the team in such a vital part, a number one starter isn't the same as a quarterback. But it's one of the closest things, and I'm kind of curious. Like, I mean, we'll get back to the good stuff in just a second. But like, and maybe this is like some silver lining here in terms of like the players this team could least afford to lose in order to have success this year. I don't think I'd have Zach Wheeler as number one. I think Kyle Schwarber is probably the guy they can least afford to lose. I think I'm going to say Johan Duran is a guy that they could least afford to lose than Zach Wheeler, because of how much of a precipice the rest of the bullpen would then go on. They're not nearly as deep in the bullpen as they are in the starting rotation. And that was a real scare. What was it on?
Oh, my God.
Thursday night that happened? Yeah. That was a real scare that they lost him for a significant amount of time, and what that would mean to the bullpen, the crush that would have meant to the emotions of the roster to lose this guy that you just brought in from Minnesota, and you'd have him for another couple of years. Like, all that energy and excitement to lose that and for that to go away, that would be utterly devastating, no doubt about it. So the fact that he emerged literally unscathed from an incident in which he had to be taken off the cart in a ridiculous Washington Nationals helmet bullpen cart with a little siren on top.
Just stand out there for like 15 minutes as they had to get the bullpen cart out there. Like, we were all, I was at a bar watching it, and we were just like, what is he doing? Why is he still out there? What do you think? Why is he, are they having tea? What are they doing?
Did they turn the siren on? On the top,
I think they did.
God, I wish.
I think they did.
Because they're carding a hurt player. That's beautiful.
I think they did.
Love it.
I think they did. And I will say too, like I was reading, Kevin Cooney tweeted after the game that there are two stories worth of stairs that you have to climb from the Phillies clubhouse to get from the field level to the clubhouse and stuff. And they didn't want him taking all those stairs. But I mean, that was a bit of good fortune that happened this weekend. And the fact that Duran was in the game on Sunday. They probably lose this game on Sunday if Duran isn't in there to get those last two outs. I don't know who else they'd go to, but I don't think they survive that game unless – and so maybe – so that's the difference maker, right? That's the difference that he brings to the game. Like you – Max Lazar was just trying to – was being swarmed by bees and, you know, just trying to run away as fast as
usual.
Swat them away. Get away, bees. And then – and Duran comes in and just settles everything down, gets his two outs, and everybody goes home with a crisis avoided. So that's what he brings to the bullpen. And you're right, Justin. The rest of the bullpen has been outstanding now that their roles have been established and they're not nearly as prominent as they were before. I think it's a big deal.
Yeah. I'm going to throw another positive out there unrelated to the pitching, and that's the Phillies catcher, JT Realmuto.
Yeah.
He has been, you know, he's been able to throw runners out in crucial situations, and that's obviously been part of his reputation for a long time. But, like, there's been times where he's done that, and I don't think another catcher could have done what he's been able to do. And he's kept runs off the board. He's gotten runners off base. And that's been incredibly valuable to the Phillies. And on top of that, he's also, like, from the catching position, he's kept the Phillies in the top 10 as far as, like, offensive categories, like on base percentage and slugging percentage. Like, he's able to play well enough as a catcher offensively to keep the Phillies, like, you know, at near the top of the sport in offensive production. Like, yeah, he's not, like, going to win an MVP, and he's obviously not the same guy he was, but he is still an excellent catcher and a huge asset for this team, and he's been able to produce at the plate a lot lately too. That's a big deal. That's a big deal, especially, you know, when you look at Rafael Marchand, you stick him in there today for obvious reasons, early game, but, like, you see the difference immediately. Like, it's just a different ball game, which brings, like, the future decisions the Phillies have to make into light as well, where you're just like, boy, we got to really decide if it's worth gambling on a new presence behind the plate, because JT Realmuto is just an excellent catcher. He's so naturally an excellent catcher, and he plays what he's able to do gets you so much that without him, the drop off is going to be very clear. Even if the Phillies wind up with, like, a better catcher someday, it's just going to be like, yeah, there's going to be a transition period where it's just not JT Realmuto anymore. And there's going to be stuff that used to happen that you're just not able to rely on anymore.
Yeah, I agree. His ability to improve at the plate as the season went along, he finally got his timing down, and he's continued to hit, which, having him in the middle of that lineup as a right-handed hitter, kind of after Schwarber and Harper, has been really helpful. He's actually been a decent guy in the cleanup spot over the last month and a half, 2 months or so. So him being able to come back and hit, in addition to how well he's played defensively, has been just tremendous. I'm going to throw another positive at you here, and that's Trey Turner, who I know he's not hitting for power, but my dude had 10 hits in this four-game series, was on base 11 times. He's just on base constantly in this series. And I know he had an at-bat where he was kind of chasing in the game on Friday, right before the Schwarber home run. But overall, he's just been a singles machine, you know, a singles and doubles machine, getting on base ahead of Schwarber and Harper. And I was looking, too, he has improved dramatically defensively at shortstop this year. In terms of outs above average, he's at like plus 8, I think this year he was well into the negative category a year ago and in 2023. His overall game has improved tremendously to the point where he's not going to be forced off of shortstop in 2026. He's going to be back there next year at that position. And being the leadoff guy that, you know, there was all – remember the talk at the beginning of the season? Moving
Schwarber, all of it, yeah.
Spot, should we move Schwarber? It's just become the Trey Turner show in the leadoff spot. It's Turner, Schwarber, Harper. Every game, like that's what it is. Schwarber is really comfortable on the two spot. He might win the National League MVP, already over 100 RBIs on the season, getting opportunities with more runners on base and capitalizing on them. I think he has more 3-run home runs this year than I think he's had in his previous three seasons. I mean, so and then Harper. I still don't know what we're going to get from Harper the rest of the season, but he seemed to pick it up the last couple of days in Washington. But I think we haven't talked a lot about the season Trey Turner's having because it hasn't been with a lot of home runs. It hasn't been – he doesn't have an OPS of 870 or anything like that. But he
hasn't been flashy.
Sorry?
I said it hasn't been flashy.
Not exactly right.
Solid, yeah. And above average.
Well above average. He's like a 5-win player this year. I mean, that's really what it is.
Huge.
for Trey Turner. So that's a good reason. I mean, you at least have a leadoff hitter. This team hasn't had a real leadoff hitter like who does leadoffy things since Trey Turner has done this year for them. I know Schwarber was a good leadoff hitter for what he was, but it works so much better with him hitting behind Trey Turner in the lineup. I'm glad they worked that out. That was a big story at the start of the season, mm-hmm. and it's solidified itself.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. Go ahead.
See, I want to mention a little bit about Harrison Bader, who has not been lighting up the base paths, but having him out in center has made me feel so much better about center field, about the Phillies' center field, about the Phillies' outfield defense in general. I really like him out there. He's making catches on the run. He's looking athletic. I don't have a lot of worries about whoever they sent down recently when Bader came up. But, like, I worried about – we all worried about center field constantly, and now they've got a guy.
Johan Rojas,
thank you. Johan Rojas. I mean, he was an adventure out there. But I'm happy with Harrison Bader. I'm glad they traded for him, even if it was mostly a defensive move. My Lord, did the Phillies need help defensively in the outfield, and they've certainly got it.
He robbed a home run, so he's also paying off defensively as well. Yeah, I feel like he's had some really great applicable moments for this team's success since arriving, even if he hasn't been the most impressive player. It's just, yeah, that's definitely, it's been an improvement because the outfield, it was kind of easy to improve some aspects, and he has definitely helped out. Absolutely. I'll also throw in that the Phillies ex-Nationals love playing at Nationals Park.
Boy, all three of them.
Even just going back a few years. This year, Trey Turner's hitting .444 in Washington. Kyle Schwarber in 2023 hit .364. Bryce Harper last year hit .353 there. Bryce Harper the year before that hit .316 there. Kyle Schwarber this year is hitting .292 there. Like, they love playing there. They love it. It's something, I think it gives them a little extra juice. Probably Schwarber less because he's less of like a Nationals the way the other two guys were. But they just play really well there, and it's very fun to see. I mean,
yes.
I don't know how the Nationals are – like, this wasn't like a series where everybody was reposting that stat about, you know, playing against Philadelphia isn't as hard as Philadelphia, blah, blah, blah. But, like, they still were able to come through and not lose the series, and that's important. And went 6-4 on this road trip, and as John said, gained a game and a half on the Mets. Like, at the end of all of this, we're all so tired and mad and upset and frustrated. And then you just look at the results and you're like, huh. And that's what's insane about this team is that when they're playing awful, someone stands up and goes like, yeah, well, did you know that they have the highest OPS since June? And you're like, what?
Well, are you from California?
And then they're like playing really well. And they're like, well, did you know that they have struck out in every at bat since June? And you're like, I don't understand this. Like, every time they're doing well, there's some stat that proves they're not, but every time they're playing poorly, there's a stat that proves they're not. So at the end of the day, I'm not sure the Phillies even exist in 2025.
Yeah,
might be better for all of us if they didn't someday.
Yeah, Totally. A couple other things I'll mention. Alec Bohm returned to the lineup on Sunday, hit a 3-run home run and a double, and I liked the fire when he got hit by a pitch in the eighth inning.
I loved it.
Yeah, Alec Bohm like getting hit by a pitch more than Chase Utley. He will never get hit by a pitch as many times as Chase Utley, but the excitement he has, like this whole, the whole reason we have World Series expectations for any of these teams is because in 2022, Alec Bohm got hit with a pitch with the bases loaded and stood up going and went to first base. And then they went to the World Series. That's the whole reason we're into any of this at this point, because he just, he loves it. He's like, sweet, I don't have to hit now.
I was going to say the same thing. He's like, great, I could just go to first base without doing anything else. Fabulous.
I don't hold that against him. I used to have the same thought in Little League.
That's right. That's right. Walk, that's way better. That's I'll take a hit.
Cool. That simplifies things for me. Excellent.
Didn't have to move the bat off my shoulder.
This team, a week ago, the entire city was telling themselves and telling everyone else, finally a team we can believe in. We believe in the Phillies now. Do you believe in the Phillies? And they sweep Texas. You know, they win a series against the Red Sox. They win a series against the Yankees. They win a series against the Orioles. They sweep the Rangers. You know, this is a team we can finally feel good about. We believe in the Phillies now. They're here. They've arrived. And then this week, and again, did it not feel way worse than 3-4 this week?
It felt real bad.
It felt, now the Zach, again, the Zach Wheeler news clouds it all. And we're going to find out this week, maybe by the time you hear this podcast, we'll know more about Zach Wheeler. He's going to get looked at by team officials on Monday. But I think for the health of everyone, we need to just assume Zach Wheeler will not be a part of the team here in 2025. I just don't see how it will be possible given pitchers who have had this injury before and the length of time that they were out. It doesn't seem likely that he's coming back. So I get where Phillies fans are, because we are there with you. I think that's what this exercise demonstrates. This team is not, you cannot put it in a box. There is no, you cannot categorize this baseball team. But I will also say this, the last thing I'll say on the good side. If you talk to a Mets fan today, if you talk to a Dodgers fan today, if you talk to a Padres fan today, a fan of any team in this league other than the Brewers right now, who have like nothing wrong going on in any way whatsoever, and you know what, give it time, everyone could do a show like this, right? There's going to be all kinds of stuff you're upset about, all kinds of stuff that you know, if they do this in October, we're sunk. You know, every team's got those issues, just like the Phillies do. So if we zoom out a little bit and take a look at that big picture and see where the Phillies are in the standings, yes, they've got to figure out, the big challenge now is figuring out how to live without Zach Wheeler and whether or not Aaron Nola can step in his place. If they don't figure that out, then doom and gloom may totally be warranted.
He cannot.
We're sure about that now.
Let's just presume that the future's unwritten, okay? Mm-hmm. At least as far as what
it's
we
not
can
that.
See.
We know it's this. Not. This I know is
it's
for
not.
Sure.
I know it's not.
In every other aspect, you are correct, except for this
except for this one.
We're not trading for anyone else at this point. Maybe
that's
Andrew,
correct.
Maybe Andrew Painter comes up and becomes part of the solution in August and September, although he's not pitching great. Although I did see today Rob Thompson he'd said after the game that he watched every one of Andrew Painter's pitches today in his start at AAA. And it was, again, another kind of pedestrian start for Andrew Painter. It doesn't feel like he's getting a call up, but
that's not happening.
Well, I don't know. Things are different now without Zach Wheeler. We'll see if they want to keep going to a 6-man rotation. They got no choice but to bring him up, but we'll see what they do. And also, I want to just ask too, real quick, where is Justin Crawford? Like, what is it going to take for Justin Crawford to get called up to the major leagues? He just continues to hit after hit. You know, if you've got trouble on offense, you need a spark. You need to do some different things. what are we doing? Go ahead, call him up. I don't know who you replace him with. I don't know who gets kicked off the roster, but figure it out.
Weston Wilson. I'm tired of him.
He's
for no other reason
really
than
well,
that.
Man.
I know he is. Yeah, I know.
That's a tough ask, honestly. Like, given the way this offense operates, you don't want to touch it when somebody's doing well. So that's tough. But I mean,
so
there
let's
are
wait
guys.
A few days.
Yeah, exactly. You just wait enough time, and yeah, you're right, John. I mean, I you know, kind of gave shorthand for Justin Crawford being like, he's kind of Ben Revere. He's got a kind of a Ben Revere profile right now.
Yeah.
I mean, he doesn't take great routes on fly balls, but his speed makes up for that, and he's able to, like, get to balls. And he hits the ball on the ground, and he uses his speed when he gets on base. And, like, that's that guy can play a big role in your offense. Even if he's not the guy who knocks in all the runs, he's probably one of the guys who's scoring. And so, yeah, I got same question. I wonder why he is not with the team right now that has talked about getting help from the minors, but hasn't really hit that button yet. I don't know.
Well,
No. This is the positive part. So, like, let's go back to this. This team's longest losing streak this season is 5 games. They've done it twice, but that's it. That's not a huge losing streak.
No,
so
it's not.
Something we've talked about before is that this team is good at not letting the losses pile up.
That's very true.
Too much. They never put themselves in too much of a hole. They've never been under 500, and they won't be unless they won't
stop.
They won't be, and
thank you.
And they've the most games they've won in a row is 9. So, like, they're a team that, like I said, they're not utterly dominant, but they're just very good and capable of winning a lot of games. And a team like that wins the World Series all the time, almost every year. The most dominant team rarely wins the World Series. The Phillies are still the type of team that goes out, you know, has up periods and down periods, and this guy sucks, and this guy's good, but now that guy's good, and that guy sucks, and, you know, here's a devastating injury. Oh, that's the worst possible time, even though any time would have been the worst possible time. Blah, blah, blah. And then they get to October, and they get there, and they pull it off. This team is still totally capable of winning the World Series. Absolutely, even without Zach Wheeler.
Agree.
That is 100% true. There are no lies
there. Strong agree.
Whatsoever. So that is a good place to finish up the void in the century on this episode of the podcast. Really, I do apologize if you've never seen Thunderbolt.
I personally love it, and it's our show. So get on our level, I guess, is the point. Go to the movies. Movie theaters deserve it. There's probably a cool independent theater near you. Go support movie theaters. Yeah. Go.
Do it. It's not that expensive.
Go support the, what is this, the Marvel movie?
No. It's extremely expensive, but you should go.
It's a Marvel movie. They're definitely struggling.
Very expensive. Lower your prices. I'll go. All right. Let's do some final thoughts here to wrap up episode 1000. Liz, any final thoughts?
I just want to say again, today is my 6th wedding anniversary, and I would not be able to do the things that I do with Phillies and with the Baseball Research Journal if it wasn't for my husband, Sean. I'm very grateful to him for marrying me 6 years ago, and I know that he is grateful that I did the same. That we haven't killed each other yet. So, yes, he won't be listening to this, so happy birthday, jeez.
Yeah.
He won't be listening to this. He definitely won't, because I won't tell him I did this. Happy anniversary, Sean.
My wife has never listened to an episode of this show.
Me neither.
Why would she?
No reason. That's the thing. We met because of the Phillies. The Phillies are a huge part of our relationship, and you'd think that would make him more likely to listen to this show. But no, he has me in his life every single day. He doesn't need to listen to the show.
My wife is very happy for me when the Phillies do well, but could not care less. So it would be mean of me to ask her, hey, did you listen to the whole hour and 10 minutes that we did on Zach Wheeler? I mean, I was telling her about the Zach Wheeler blood clot thing, and I was like upset about it. And she's like, you have children. You know, what she didn't say that.
Zach Wheeler has children.
I can feel it. And she's not wrong either, by the way. She's not wrong at all.
When I had to go to a World Series game instead of attending some other event, my wife was telling the person that I wouldn't be seeing at that event that I had to attend a very special Phillies baseball game. And that was why I could not be there.
Like an 80s sitcom?
Exactly.
So
very
funny.
Special episode of the Phillies coming out here tonight.
Yep.
All right. Justin, is that your final thought, or you got something else lined up?
No, I got something else to say, which is that when the Phillies activated Aaron Nola, they also released Cal Stephenson, which is a huge bummer. The Cal Stephenson game was a highlight of the regular season last year, in which he hit the game-winning extra base hit into the corner that scored a bunch of runs as everyone was just chanting and just play. I was at the game and just like, please do it. And then making a home run robbing catch in center field that, like, I'll never be able to prove it, but I clocked it. As soon as I was watching him, the pace he was running at and the way he was looking up at the ball, I was like, he thinks he can catch that ball. And so I think he can catch that ball. And he got there and he caught it and he saved the game and they beat the Mets. And Cal Stevenson shut up a whole section of Mets fans who were sitting on the upper level on the left field side. Awesome. Those are the kind of guys and those are the kind of games that you make, you know, you're watching a special season of baseball, no matter what team is involved. And that was one of those games where it was just like, we're getting all-star performances, even if it's just for one game, mm-hmm. from a guy like Cal Stevenson, who's probably going back to the minors tomorrow. Not only is that awesome for us to see, and we get to get behind like some rando, and everybody gets to be excited about him, but he gets to have his moment in the sun. He gets to be the post-game interview. He gets the picture in the paper, and he gets to feel 2 feet taller the next day. Awesome. So yeah. I was sad to see that. It was, you know, something that was inevitable at this point, but you know, it's always sad to see that guy finally leave the organization, which Cal Stevenson did.
I always feel really glad about those moments, because, you know, like in 40 years when he's, you know, a grandfather and he's talking about his kids, about his playing days, he's like, I remember the game back in 2024 when I leaped over the fence and brought a home run back against the stinking Mets and knocked in 2 runs in the corner. You want to see the tape, kids? I got the tape right here.
Be able to pull that up.
Granddad. Quiet, Granddad. Get back in your sleep pod.
We're playing with our robots. Would you please leave us alone? Anyway.
It doesn't work in hologram technology, so unfortunately we cannot watch this video clip. Yeah. We're pretty sure you did it. Thanks, Grandpa.
Swallow this video highlight chip and enjoy, children. All right, I'm going to finish up episode 1000, just reiterating once again how happy and thrilled I am to be doing this show with you guys. And I really do want to thank you guys, the listeners, who have – some of you have been with us the whole time, and heaven help you.
Thank you so much.
You helped us get through the dregs of the rebuild and through the tantalizing Gabe Kapler years and the Jake Arrieta times and the Odubel Herrera monstrosities and, you know, everything else that's come down the pike, my ill-fated T-shirt ventures with all kinds of stupid slogans from the 2017 team that got
Oh, my God.
To where we are now, here with this team, we got to do this through a World Series in 2022. We've gotten close a couple more times. Maybe here in year number 10, as we're now in the 1000s, we'll get to see another one. But I do want to thank you, the listeners, for being with us this whole time. If you guys didn't listen to the show, we would have stopped it a long time ago. So I still don't know why you listen to us, but we are really grateful that you do. So again, thank you very much for being with us for 1,000 episodes, and we are going to keep it on rolling. So. With that being said, that's going to do it for this edition, episode 1000 of Hittin' Season. Don't forget, everyone, this episode of the podcast can be found on the WHYY YouTube channel. So subscribe to the WHYY YouTube channel, and you'll get every roundtable episode of the podcast as it comes there. We'll do the midweek and the end of the week podcast on the Hittin' Season YouTube page. So subscribe to both, and you'll be able to watch these shows whenever you want to. And more importantly, if you're listening to podcasts, tell your friends and family members. We can be found on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever it is you get your podcasts. Leave a 5-star rating if you get a chance. It will help the show grow. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time right here on Hittin' Season.